to the Movies on the Brain podcast. We're here at SigmaCon at LSU.
I'm Kelsey Hinton, and I'm here selling art at SigmaCon. We got everybody out here and having fun.
And I am your citizen on patrol, the Tick, also known as Brian C. Wood. And with me today is my co-host, as always,
Dan Mitz.
Welcome to another weird, wild, and wacky week in the world of genre movie news, as I am on the floor of a comic book convention doing a live podcast with new people. This is awesome. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and about what you're doing and how you're enjoying your Comic-Con experience.
I'm having so much fun. People have come over to my booth and bought art and asked questions and started commissions. I'm by day a cosmetologist, so then on the side I paint watercolor, nerdy art, and I do blackboard with Prismacolor, so that's really pretty and really fun.
Yeah. And I'm Brianna Hinn, her sister. I'm just kind of here for moral support and...
awesome face painting.
Yeah, awesome face painting. Kind of on display to scare all the little kids away on accident.
On accident. Yes, yeah. Because Two-Face is always a family-friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. One kid actually came up and wanted a Two-Face with Deadpool and Spider-Man.
Yeah, so we had half and half of a red Spider-Man and a red Deadpool.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. So if y'all feel like sticking around for some movie talk?
Sure.
Alright. Alright, so, Chad. We've got a 50 Shades of Grey movie that is out in theaters and is not getting good reviews.
I wonder why.
I know, surprise, surprise. Your thoughts on the fact that 50 Shades of Grey won the Friday box office, beating Lego Batman.
That there's a lot of things wrong with a lot of people out there. That's what that tells me.
Someone needs to sort out their priorities.
Yeah, I mean, we have the internet, and there are things on the internet that can satisfy these needs and not to go to 50 Shades of Grey. So, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to a week where 50 Shades of Grey wins the box office and Lego Batman does not. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But, you know, it's the weekend before Valentine's Day and people want to have their fun, I guess.
I'm much more interested in Batman,
yeah.
Lego form or not.
I'd enjoy a date night to see Lego Batman much more than to see 50 Shades of Grey.
100%. I was at the theater on Thursday night to see Lego Batman. There were 7 people in my screening. There were 2 sold out shows of 50 Shades Darker.
Wow. Absolutely. Wow.
All with women between the ages of 25 and 45 in their auditoriums.
Or higher. Like,
or
higher.
Or higher. Or higher. So, I mean, you saw Lego Batman.
Yes.
I saw Lego Batman. They have not seen Lego Batman. What were your thoughts on Lego Batman? Trying not to spoil it for our...
I won't spoil it. I really like it. If you like the Lego movie, you'll like Lego Batman. He's a whole lot more ridiculous in this, but it's fun. I think it's a good time. I was hoping that it was going to win the weekend, but, you know, single people and housewives and the like.
Soccer moms.
Yeah. Did y'all like the Lego movie?
Yeah. I was actually working at a daycare when it came out, and I bought it specifically for myself, and then brought it and was like, "Hey, you guys, I bought you a present." So that was really funny.
I ended up watching it months after it came out. So she had hyped it up a little too much. So the first time I watched it, she was staring at me, waiting me to laugh at all the jokes, and I was like, "You can't expect me to laugh at every setup."
I'm so sorry.
And the second time I watched it, I was like, "Okay, this movie's hilarious," and I started laughing about it days later. So, as soon as the Batman trailer came out, I was ready. It's like, this would be amazing.
Yeah, I think you'll like it.
I'm excited.
Yeah, totally. Lots of cameos.
Lots of cameos.
Lots of cameos. Lots of craziness. Lots of vibrant colors.
There's always something going on in that. But it's like the Lego book.
And a bright color, very bright color palette, and a pacing that doesn't stop.
Yeah. It's about how the commercial seemed.
If you've seen the commercial, then ramp it up a little bit more and you got this.
Good.
Perfect.
Alright. So, next. So they're going to make a Dumbo movie.
A Dumbo movie?
A live action Dumbo movie.
How?
Oh, man.
Alright, so let's take a couple elephants and enlarge their ears.
Dumbo scared me on its own. Like, yes. I loved it, but I also cried.
Well, let's scare you just a little bit more. because you see the director of this live action Dumbo movie is going to be Tim Burton.
It would make sense. Oh, I probably actually want to watch it more.
I'm more excited now.
Yes.
I was not as excited.
Not as excited.
I was like, how about we veto that movie?
I love Tim Burton.
Well, this particular Dumbo live action remake, as Disney is doing with Beauty and the Beast and lots of their other movies, was in talks to have Will Smith in it. And this week, Will Smith like said
He said he is passing on Dumbo.
Aww.
I don't know what he's going to do, but he's not doing Dumbo.
I'm not sure what he would be in Dumbo had he been in it.
The story was he was going to be like a father to some kids that befriend Dumbo, a new character, but he's going to pass.
I'm sure you have to expand it a little bit.
If y'all need to go sell art.
Yes, we would like to go sell some art real quick.
Looking at some postcards.
Yes, go sell some art.
Thank y'all so much.
We enjoyed our time with you.
Not a problem. Thank y'all. All right, so this being a live episode of the Movies in the Brain podcast, you're back to just having Chad and I. So, I mean, the Dumbo news. I mean, does it really surprise us at all? I mean, he's got some capital now from Suicide Squad.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but I thought because he was, Bad Boys got put on the back burner again, and that was like the main thing they were saying. If he took this, Bad Boys wasn't going to happen. So for Bad Boys not to happen, and this to pass.
Well, I think this will help it get on the fast track, back to being on the fast track, because the only way that gets made is if Will's behind it. So
exactly. I don't know. I have real reservations about if that movie is made at all. I'm fine leaving it where it is, but you know how people are. So
yeah, their track record of success is really, really high. This Beauty and the Beast remake is set to make $1 billion, literally $1 billion.
Yeah, I'm ready to see what the opening weekend is, because yes, it's going to make all of the money, and again, Disney's going to make bank for the second year in a row.
And again, Emma Watson's going to be set for the rest of her life, as if she wasn't already.
Yeah, even though she's upset that she wasn't in La La Land now. She doesn't appreciate her agent for letting her pass on that. Even though, as I understand, it was her decision to pass on it.
It was her decision.
And part of it was because of Beauty and the Beast.
Right. Which,
I mean...
Emma Stone may get an Oscar. Emma Watson will have fame forever as Belle.
Yeah, unless you completely botch it, you are now the face of Belle for the rest of your life. So, I don't know. Some people might not like that, but you have to know that going in. So, I think she'll be okay.
All right. Let's move on to some Marvel news. So, there was an internal screening of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It came out, and they said that it was 100%.
The rare 100%.
The rare 100%. Now, here's the way that test screenings work for Marvel. Marvel doesn't want to test screen their movies for a general audience because people can tweet, yes. Even if they sign non-disclosure agreements.
They will make up an account and tweet away.
They will tweet, they will Instagram, they will Facebook, they will let people know what was up. Star Wars is the same. Star Wars doesn't do test screens. Marvel's system is what's called a friends and family screening, which means that people from Marvel invite their friends and family to come to the studio to screen the movie and then give their reactions afterward. And so this is the result of that friends and family screening and the feedback that they got from that.
The way they said that is rare. I know people, when they hear friends and family, they're like, okay, all these people, they're going to be in the tank for Marvel anyway. But when they say this is a rare thing, this doesn't happen often. Even though this is our process, we never get this. It says a lot about what they thought of the movie. And being that it is Guardians, and most people like Guardians, I believe it, and it's very encouraging for what's going to happen going forward. If it were any other movie, there's a right to be skeptical because of all of these circumstances, I believe it, and I think it's going to be hard for Guardians not to be good.
I think that we're going to end up in a place where expectations are going to be so freaking high for this movie by the first week of May that unless this thing has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, people are going to be disappointed.
I can see that, too.
I mean, I'm worried about outsizing the expectations to where it gets overhyped and people are walking in with their knives out.
True. But I don't... I mean, there's a greater chance that it won't hit the expectations, but if any movie were to surpass them, it would be this movie.
I mean, they're set up for an awesome 2017, right? I mean, Guardians is supposed to be incredibly great. We're going to get the best Batman movie we've gotten in a while. I mean, the best Spider-Man movie that we've gotten in a while. We just got the best Batman movie we've gotten in a while. But Spider-Man's supposed to be awesome. Guardians is supposed to be awesome. And I'm really psyched for what Watiti is doing with Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. So, I mean, they're set to have a really good 17. I'm just worried that you're outsizing the expectations.
And I would think they would have to know that, too, for them to even put this out there. I think it shows just how much confidence they have in Guardians. And it's just something about Guardians where I like, they put this kind of stuff out and I just kind of let my guard down and I want to believe it, because if anything's going to do it, it's going to be Guardians.
Yes. But there is a calendar difference here too. I mean, Guardians was the first week of August, where it had no competition and anything around it. And this is the first week.
First week in May. I don't know what's coming.
Generally people now have started to give Marvel a 2-week window.
Yeah, and I think that's smart on this one. I know there's not anything really big coming out before it. I don't remember what's the next big thing.
Well, Fast and the Fate of the Furious has got the entire month of April to run again.
Oh, well. So Fast clears out April for Guardians coming in May, and then they'll have a 2-week bump for whatever comes after that. I don't know what it is. Maybe, is it that it's either going to be
if we were at our normal location, I would have access to my full list of 2017 releases.
It'll take me forever to find it, but I can try. It's got to be Transformers or Pirates that comes out after.
Pirates seems more plausible, because I think Transformers The Last Night is the first week of June.
That sounds right.
It's right around Wonder Woman.
Yeah, let's see.
But again, I just think that the internal screening process that they're using is really, while it's flawed and it can be somewhat of a false sense of security, I mean, I think the reactions are going to be positive once they start screening for press.
Yes.
I mean, we're at a point now where the special effects are finishing up. They're going to lock picture here in a couple of weeks. The movie's done, and they'll start screening for critics 2 weeks before the movie comes out. Those embargoes will lift. The set visit information that has hit this week has all been overly positive, received
yeah.
overly positively. Gunn was very open about Marvel let me make my movie. One of the things that I found the most interesting about the set visit was when Gunn said that doing Thanos in part one was his least favorite part of the movie,
yeah.
which seems to me to suggest that it was kind of forced upon him.
Yeah, that was a Marvel thing. You can do whatever you want, but Thanos has to be in it. So, which, when he said it, I was surprised that was the case, because it seemed to fit so naturally, but not surprised that Marvel actually did it. It seems this time they're like, just do whatever you want to do. We don't really need this one to fit in as much, so go nuts. And it seems that's what he's done.
What did you think of the Ahsoka look? Does she look gold enough and perfect enough?
I barely saw that picture. I don't really know what she looks like in the comic, so it's not going to bother me.
She-Hulk in gold.
It wouldn't bother me. This would be a question for the hardcore fans of that character.
There is no such thing as a hardcore Guardians fan. The Guardians comics constantly got canceled before this movie.
I understand that. You understand that. But I guarantee you, there are people out there that are like, I'm a Guardians fan, gung-ho. That's not what it's supposed to look like. And we both looked them in the eye and said, you're alive. You, sir, are alive. So, like, I know there were people that have issues with the way Mantis looked because she's not green.
But she is Asian.
But she is Asian. And, like, her first earlier appearances, she had the same skin tone she does in the movie. So, again, to that Guardians fan, it's like, she doesn't look like the man as I know. And I'm a Guardians fan. You, sir, are a liar. But
the man, what did you make of the information we got from the set visit that Madison and Drax are going to be the ones that really kind of bond together?
Just going off of their interaction in the trailer, I'm all here for this. Everything I've heard from around the set, it sounds like Batista's having the time of his life, and it's reflected in Drax, and Drax might be a standout in the movie.
Yeah, Batista's kind of sticking it to the game and saying, hey, yeah, I am actually an international movie star.
Yeah, you suck it, sir.
We don't even know if the film's going to be any good.
No, but as for those two, she seems to be the more naive version of Drax from the first one. So having that dynamic seems like it's going to be fun. So again, I'm good for it. And while I'm right here, I have to pull it up. So it's pretty much Fate of the Furious comes out April 14th. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I don't even know about that between that then and May 5th when Guardians comes out. After Guardians, the week after Guardians.
King Arthur?
Yes.
Yeah.
So whatever you think of that. After that, it is Alien Covenant comes out on the 19th, so 2 weeks after Guardians.
Chad, yeah. Let's establish on this podcast now, which makes more money, The Great Wall or Guy Ritchie's King Arthur?
Ooh. Man, that's tough. I'm going to say...
Because we are going to see The Great Wall on Thursday night in IMAX.
Is that this Thursday?
That is this Thursday night.
Good God, man. You just like me telling you I don't like you on the podcast. That's what this is.
Well, you know, it's just going to be awesome because we've got a white guy slinging arrows in Asia on the Great Wall. Taking orders from William Dafoe.
So, as you say all that, I've decided King Arthur's going to make more money. I was going to say that because of the data securing it was sitting in, but the more I think about it, the Great Wall is going to die on a vine. So, yeah. Wait, Lego Batman's getting kicked out of IMAX for that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad move, man. Bad move, theater owners. The Lego Batman might not win the weekend this weekend, but it will win it next weekend. And you will like that IMAX revenue on the second weekend. And not the empty bucks, empty seats, because that's all you're going to have for Great Wall.
That they've been actually still spending money on marketing.
Look. If I gotta go see the Great Wall on Thursday,
yeah,
and which
you do for the benefit of all of our podcast listeners,
and there's not more than 10 people in that theater,
including the one from Wichita.
If there's not more than 10 people in that theater,
and our listeners in Melbourne, Australia,
I'm getting drunk. I'm gonna walk right back out there to the bar. I'm getting drunk to watch this thing, which probably means I'm gonna fall asleep. But
you know,
that's
it's
where we're
very
at.
Loud, very loud movie, Chad. There, you won't be able to turn away.
You've seen me fall asleep.
Hey, look, the Asian director said he couldn't get it made unless he had a white star.
I appreciate him saying that.
Which is completely honest about the broken system that we have.
Yeah.
So,
while I would like him to continue his job, his career,
And Legendary is owned by a Chinese conglomerate, so...
I still want and know that this movie is going to be terrible.
It is. It is.
And it's going to shrivel up and die in 2 weeks.
It could be good. It could be good.
Yeah, it could be good.
It's like Power Rangers. It could be good.
I have way more faith in Power Rangers than that.
Hey, at least they injected humor.
When I saw Lego Batman today, the
Power Rangers trailer is in front of it.
That trailer got the biggest pop out of everything. It's a theater full of kids, but they all went nuts for Power Rangers, so they know what it is and they like it and they want to go see it. So I think Power Rangers is going to do all right now.
All right. So, Chad, the young Han Solo movie is currently in production. It's now shooting. And we have a total of 5 confirmed cast members. Young Han Solo, young Lando Calrissian, a completely CGI character. And this the person that had been added prior to this, and this would be 5.
Yeah, I forget who the girl is with that was added previously. She's in a show that I don't watch. I don't remember who she is. But
this new one is from Westworld.
Yeah, and if you can reach back in your memory banks to Mission Impossible 2, she's in that too. I just want to throw that out there so people can kick around Mission Impossible 2.
Right.
Because it's trash. But
is that that's the John Woo directed one?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Yeah.
So
Anthony Hopkins in it for all of about 2.5 minutes.
He's in 3. I forget who the guy is in 2. Anthony Hopkins is in 3 for 5 minutes.
With JJ.
Yeah.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep, that's the bad guy, yeah.
So your thoughts on, again, the fact that we are shooting, we have 5 cast members total confirmed, one of them's completely CGI, in the vein of C-3PO apparently, so something kind of akin to
the robot from Rogue One.
Right.
So there was, I forget what movie it was this week, and something that comes out really soon, or I think it might have came out this week, and they just announced somebody joining the cast, and I'm like, you can't join the cast now, this movie's already done. So I think much like that, they have their cast, and they're just not telling us anything until they feel like telling us. So they felt like telling us today, yesterday.
Well, we'll see, here's the thing, Chad. There's going to be a giant gathering of Star Wars fans in Orlando, Florida in April, the week after WrestleMania. I have a funny feeling we're going to get some major news out of that convention. And one of the things I think that we're going to get is a panel dedicated solely to the young Han Solo movie, where Lord and Miller actually open up and talk about things, and I think we get a full cast list out of that. Maybe not character names, but a full cast list.
I think that's a safe bet. So, I mean, it begs the question, why even release these two names this week? Because, again, you could have just started shooting and not told us a dang thing. And
other than young Han and young Lando.
That's all we needed to know. I completely forgot that they were shooting it now. Didn't think about it because I knew when it was time for them to tell us, they were going to tell us. And so, yeah, when you hear them say, this person is joining the cast and they're already shooting the movie, don't fret. It's not like a reshoot or somebody they had to replace last minute. It could be, but normally it's not.
Normally it's all these are people who are on set currently filming their roles, and it just gets let known publicly.
Yeah.
I mean, not every film is like Ant-Man and The Wasp, where Douglas is like, yeah, I start filming on this date.
Yeah.
Or The Batman, where it's like, we're going to start shooting in April now.
While they were on the tail end of shooting Justice League, they just said who Steppenwolf was going to be. He's already been there the whole time. They just did the same thing. We know Darkseid's in the movie. They haven't said a thing about that, and we probably won't find out until after Wonder Woman, probably. So these things happen. It's not anything to
That's another conversation we can have as to where Wonder Woman leaves off.
I don't even want to guess, because, I think Wonder Woman is largely insulated from all the other things that's going on with DC right now.
It all revolves around that picture, right? I mean, the picture that she had to have back in Batman vs. Superman is the picture that she's looking at that makes her think back to her days in World War I, which begins the whole idea. Because, you have that narrative function in Captain America the First Avenger, where you start in the present, you go back to the past and tell the origin story, you end the origin story with him being crashed into the ice, and then you come back to the present to cap it off. So I think that might be the structure they're going to go with.
The way that people keep thinking that Batman's in Wonder Woman, I would imagine it starts off with that picture, then we go to the whole movie, and it comes back, and she's telling Batman the story of why she loved Batman for so long and why she's back now.
which would be a good way to leave off.
Yeah.
And then you can just go start recruiting after that.
Yeah. The recruitment movie, as we like to call it, Justice League.
Because Batman has to recruit the Justice League. Because Batman is the leader of the Justice League.
Do you know how painful that is as a Superman guy wearing a Superman shirt right now? Batman is the leader of the Justice League. And to actually have to argue with people about Batman being the leader of the Justice League when he's not the leader of the Justice League. But
and we sit like not even 90 feet away from a pop vinyl of Doomsday.
Go to the next page.
Hey now, I'm not the one who watches the movie every day.
I have a problem. It's abuse. It's self-abuse. I understand that, but I do it. I can't help it.
Zach's very grateful. The Snyders are very grateful that you do that.
Oh, God.
So, Chad, let's move on to the Batman. The Batman lost his director. Batman needed a new director. The Batman had a director shortlist that comprised of all of about one name. They got that one name to agree this week. So, news broke late last night that Matt Reeves, he of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Rise of the Planet of the Apes and War of the Planet of the Apes, two exceptional films. At least one exceptional film, and I'm pretty sure this the other one is going to be pretty outstanding as well. It's one of my most anticipated movies of the year. Your thoughts on his taking the job of the Batman?
So, before I get to Reeves taking on being the director of Batman, that was the last bit of news we got about Batman this week. During the week, it was like, you know, again, they just took a pile of poop and threw it at the fan. And because there was one report where it sounded like Batman was getting a complete page one rewrite. And coming off of Affleck leaving as director and him saying the whole time, the script's not right, I'm not directing it. And then you find out that Batman might be getting a whole page one rewrite, we'll be like, well, hell. What's really going on? If it's that bad and have to do a page one rewrite, can we really count on Ben coming back as Batman? And then right off the heels of that report, then there was, I know it was Justin Cole of Variety who like said, no, what I'm hearing is the script's already turned in and Warner and Ben are really, really happy with it. And that led to the typical internet infighting of, well, this one said this and this one said that, and you're a sheep if you believe this, and you're a follower if you believe that. So, and that leaves me sitting here like, I don't know what the hell's going on. And really, y'all are killing me. Y'all are like taking away my life.
Well, not only that, but Reeves is going to want some creative input on story.
Yeah, well, and hearing both of those things is why I was like completely not expecting a director to be announced for many, many, many months. So, they put a little squash on everything. They gave us some good news by announcing Matt Reeves on Friday night. However, something else happened before that. They pretty much buried that getting said. So, I don't know what the internet reception is because the other thing happened, which we'll talk about.
The internet, I mean, the Reeves appointment, his stories are very nuanced. His direction, his movies have a very deep meaning to them. He's a really dark, gritty filmmaker. You know, the question people are going to have about Reeves is, who is the mastermind behind those Apes movies? Is it him by himself, or is it him working with Serkis and two of them collaborating together that make those movies what they are? And if that's the case, I'm okay with it, because that means he can collaborate with Ben to make this what they both want it to
like,
be.
Like, either way, in either of those scenarios, if it's strictly his direction on the movie that made them that good, that bodes well, because he's gonna have input on this and take it his direction. If it's him inputting, him collaborating with other people, namely like Andy Serkis, who's so creative and has a real handle on how to do all this stuff. Well, you have Ben. He's been Batman a few times now. They're still, from what I understand, if it's not a complete page one rewrite, they're still working from his story that he came up with Johns, and he's been producing these movies now. It'll be like three of them now. So that it still bodes well either way. So I'm good with him as director. I just need them to get the rest of this stuff straight. Because at this point, this thing has been like such a total cluster.
Which starts to make you ask questions about the quality of the Justice League.
There's no way you cannot ask questions about the quality of Justice League because one of the theories out there for Ben taking the exit from the director, I do think he was burnt out and he had all these other things that happened this year and it was time he needed to take a step back. But this is like the first step to taking it out after Justice League because he knows Justice League is a bomb. So that is going to be there up until that would get squashed only if they started shooting the Batman this year. If they start shooting the Batman this year before Justice League, then that can go away. Justice League can still be a bomb, but it would be that Ben doesn't think it's a bomb and doesn't feel he has to escape. But if they don't start shooting before Justice League, then it's all up to that movie as to what...
And to be fair, I don't think you're going to be able to, because Apes is in July. So Reeves is going to be stuck on post-production and a press tour
up until
July. So you wouldn't even be able to begin production until October.
But that can line up with Ben needing time off. So he can take his time off and then come back in like May and start getting in Batman shape and then start shooting in October.
But October is like weeks before Justice League.
But as long as they start shooting before Justice League, you take away that card. However, as we just outlined this timeline, while it all works from a creative standpoint to get all those ducks in a row, from fanboys that are wigging out, that means you're not stopping that bleeding until October, the month before. That would be your problem. I see no other way to stop
it. And they've already burned their card with the set visit.
The set visit was to get to Goodwill spot.
Change the narrative.
Yeah. Which they did. And they could have had another one they didn't tell us about and they released stuff closer to the date with more information. That could happen. But to me,
if you have that card, if you have that in you, you play that card whenever you have these kinds of issues. Because you need to, again, change the narrative.
Well, they had to play the card when they did because, I mean, while Batman vs. Superman made money, it didn't make the money they wanted. And people were extremely unhappy. And there was no goodwill for Justice League at all. So they had to play the card when they did. At least it resets you to a point where it's like, most people are like, okay, I'm willing to give it a chance. There's really nothing they can do outside because they've already used the. Well, Ben said he's going to do it, but Ben said he's going to direct Justice League on TV, and 3 weeks later,
you mean the Batman?
Yeah, he's going to direct the Batman on TV. 3 weeks later, he's not. So just in the statement, he said he's still playing Batman, but we trusted you before. This is how this turned out. We can't really take you at your word until they start actually shooting. Because we've heard about the story. We've seen like Viz shots with Deathstroke. There's nothing else they can show us that's going to make anybody feel better. So,
sorry, yeah. I got distracted. Spider-Man just walking around.
Spider-Man? I used to see Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Spider-Man.
There's a Spider-Man, yes. But, I mean, I think it's just going to be interesting because they can't keep putting themselves in this position. Hello, Spider-Man.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Good seeing you, too. How are you?
I'm on patrol, making sure that the streets are safe. A spoon on.
Wait a minute.
So, reemphasizing the fact that we are broadcasting live, recording this live on a Comic-Con convention floor.
Yeah, and you can't just not say hi to Spider-Man.
Can't not, no. So, I think that every single one of their movies has had development problems. Unlike Aquaman. Aquaman's the only one who hasn't had any creative issues.
I mean, Wonder Woman had it, but it was like really, really early.
Wonder Woman had a director change.
Yeah.
Allegedly because of a talking tiger.
Which, I know I give DC a lot of crap. I'm completely on board.
I cannot personally fathom that it was a I will lay my job on the line to have a talking tiger. I cannot believe that she was like, I'm not going to direct, as a woman, I am not going to direct the first female-led superhero movie, and it's Wonder Woman, because I can't have a talking tiger. There was more to that story.
Probably.
Zach probably just put out that she wanted a talking tiger so that he could belittle, you know, the other creative differences that existed. But Dawn of Justice has, you know, all of the things leading up to its reception. The casting of Ben Affleck with Batman didn't go over very well at the beginning. The Man of Steel was, of course, not received very well, and it had its own issues. You know, Suicide Squad is fighting a publicity war on all fronts the week of release.
I forgot about that.
You know, Wonder Woman's had a director change, and writing changes. You know, the Batman has now had a director and lost a director and has changed writers. The Flash movie's lost two directors and gone through two different changes. Justice League itself underwent a complete change after the reception to Dawn of Justice. So every single one of their movies, unlike Marvel, every single one of their movies has had production issues. And in this day and age of digital media, where you can follow a movie from the day it's announced to the day it hits theaters, and fanboys are going to freak out about every piece of bad information, you've been losing the PR war on every movie that you put out.
Yes.
Except for Aquaman, because James Wan quashed rumors by taking a picture of himself playing on his phone standing in front of a mural of Aquaman saying, you know, I'm going to do the movie.
Yeah. Wonder Woman and Aquaman are the ones that have a chance to, like, out of everything that is actively in production, Wonder Woman and Aquaman have the best chances of succeeding.
There is I can see no conceivable way in which Wonder Woman fails. That crew, that cast, as we say on this podcast many times, is set up to carry her to a 3-star match.
It is.
And that's all she has to do is carry her, get across the finish line to a 3-star match, and she gets positive momentum for the DCEU at large.
The match is put together, the movie's put together like a match that she can get carried across.
All the spots are there, she's worked it out, she knows where to hit the spots at.
The problem is, 10 minutes before the match goes on, Vince has changed his mind about how he wants the finish to go. And that's where we're at with Wonder Woman. I see all the parts that are there, and that tells me that this movie should at least be good and get a good reception and make decent money. But I don't know what crazy is doing behind the curtain right before the movie comes out. So I don't know what the hell can happen. That's where we're at with DC.
So, saying that the matches go, the ending gets changed, and instead of JR calling the match, Michael Cole's calling the match.
Yes, that's a good analogy. So, DC needs to get through this patch of movies, and I keep saying the only thing they need to steal from Marvel is the idea of having someone or some, it can be more than one person, that guides the direction of their universe. And they have refused to do that, and it's showing.
Well, they've added Johns.
They've added Johns, but Johns is good as a creator. Like, if this worked the way it's supposed to work, yeah, that'd be good. But I don't trust that it will. I don't trust that it does work that way. Which is why I would still advocate for them to go out and get somebody. I keep saying, well, steal
them. Right. The other thing about Marvel is they have a PR strategy. Like, they keep everything contained. Even when Edgar Wright walks off of Ant-Man and you have to go find another director, they save the movie and it doesn't spin out of control. I mean, the Edgar Wright incident is probably, next to the Incredible Hulk stuff, the biggest stain on the Marvel Cinematic Universe from anticipation standpoint. It's the biggest public relations misstep. And yet it still was not nearly as damaging to the MCU or to that movie Ant-Man as a whole as it could have been.
And that goes again to how Marvel structures, because while Marvel is a part of Disney, they are still Marvel, and all of that stuff is like contained. And it goes to the higher ups it needs to go to in Disney, but
and
it stays within
leaks.
Marvel.
There aren't leaks. There isn't one side saying this and another source saying that, and so you get into this situation of what's the truth.
But WB has leaks because it's all just still WB. There's not like, they didn't specifically make this DC umbrella and keep all of those DC projects together, and they just go, and they feed the information up the chain as they need to. Everybody in Warner Brothers is involved in all of these movies. So then, just like any place you work at, if you work at a place and there's people that don't like people and don't like how they do this and don't like how they do that, but when one of their things they're working on is doing this, they go and tell somebody. That's how you get all these leaks from different places. Marvel is self-contained, and the information that needs to go out goes out off the chain.
And anybody who lets anything out gets exiled and sent away.
Yeah, because you don't have as many people to headhunt back down to find out where the information came from. It can only come from a set amount of people, and we know where y'all at, we know where your family's at. We'll push the button. Warner Brothers is like, hell, it can be like any of y'all, I don't know.
Anybody in the studio?
Yeah, it goes anybody in the studio. The angry letter that alleges that Wonder Woman and Justice League were garbage after seeing Suicide Squad last year, she said in her thing she's a lower level employee in Warner Brothers. Like, she's basically, she's insignificant, and she's heard all these things. She's hearing this from people up, and it's just trickling down. So if lower level people in Warner Brothers in general hears this stuff about that, that's how you get all these leaks, and you don't know what is credible and
what's
not.
There is no intern in the makeup department at Marvel running to birth movies deaf to give them the full...
No. Because you makeup artists, we know, you're here, you know, and you're only dealing with the people in Marvel. So if it comes from you, we can start going up the chain with the people you interact with and start threatening families. Because we know the exact families to threaten.
So, I mean, I think that they're just in a position, a very vulnerable position right now. And after every movie, they've been behind the eight ball as far as public perception goes. And I think that's been a true hindrance to them.
Yes. And they're only gonna fix it like the old sports saying is, winning cures everything. They need their movies to be hits. They need particularly Justice League, but it has to start with Wonder Woman. They have to have hits. If those two are good, I think all this goes away. And hopefully, if that's the case, Warner Brothers then takes the opportunity to be like, okay, let's truly restructure this so we can not ever go through this crap again.
All right, which brings us to the studio that actually does their movie marketing very well.
Yeah, the one that stole all of the thunder from the Batman director.
Well, actually, in retrospect, the Batman movie director seems like a news dump. Like a news dump late on Friday night.
It was weird because, I mean, you get news on Friday, but I'm driving home late at night and I see this come across the social media feed. So I'm like, wow, okay, that's weird. But then again, as I say that, this thing with the Avengers happens at like, if this happened at 7:30, the Avengers thing happened at 8:00. So both weird times to release things, but one has clearly dominated the news cycle, and other, while it causes excitement, the Batman one is actually more significant because it's new.
Yeah, and this is simply a 2.5 minute DVD extra telling people that the Avengers Infinity War is now filming.
Yeah, and it's not like they just started filming today. It's like 2 weeks ago.
January
23rd,
yeah.
I think. So it's not even new, but just...
Which is about 2 months behind what they were originally intending, because they were originally going to shoot in November.
Yeah. But... This is where Marvel kills the showmanship, because all they did, they start this thing off with a voiceover and it goes through their own movies, and the next shot you get is of Robert Downey Jr., Tom Holland, and Chris Pratt standing on set talking about starting filming of this movie. And it's at that moment that, while again, I know everything that's in this video. I know it all is
coming. We have known Infinity War was going to be a thing since that day in October of 2013 in the LCIT Theater.
Yeah, and since then we found out that Spider-Man is going to be in it. We found out that the Guardians are going to be in it. But seeing
Thank
them,
you, Vin Diesel.
Well, it's not even, I can't even blame all Vin, because like over the past month, like every individual Guardian has been like, Gamora's confirmed, and Drax is confirmed, and Mantis is confirmed. And so, yeah, I don't know why they were individually doing it, but that's what we were. But seeing those three on screen together, particularly Chris Pratt.
On an asteroid set.
Yeah.
With Robert Downey Jr.
So it just makes it real. It makes it real. We have arguably the Avenger. We have Spider-Man, and we have Guardians, a representative of everything that we're getting in this movie, sitting there talking about being there together. And it just makes it all tangible, and that's what gets the excitement coming. And then right after that, that's when Kevin Feige says that the Guardians are going to meet the Avengers. Again, I knew that.
And shows concept art of Rocket
and Thor. Yeah, I knew that. But hearing that and seeing those pictures and all that stuff, I'm like, you've got me excited for a movie I can't see for another freaking year. You've been shooting for 2 weeks, and now I want it now. So there are movies ahead of this that I want to see.
Four.
Yes, four movies ahead of this, and I want to see this one tomorrow. And this is why Marvel wins, because there's no reason. They didn't have to drop this.
It's a DVD extra.
I mean, really, at this point, I think they're just being dicks. They're just like, yeah, we got all this, and we're just gonna, we know we're running up the score on you.
It's like Lucasfilm dropping the title of Episode 8 on a random Tuesday morning or Monday morning.
We had to get that eventually.
Yes.
That was just something we had to get. We didn't need this.
No.
At all. There was nothing about this that
they'd already put out the start of production press release.
Yeah. There was nothing about this we needed. But they're like, nah, we're just going to do it. And we're going to cause y'all to get in the uproar.
Yeah, and here's your Thanos concept art.
Yeah, and I believe they didn't know that this Batman is coming out. It just so happened that once DC's trying to get a little bit of, like, put some momentum that way, and Marvel's like, oh, y'all are doing that today? I'm sorry, here's this. So, they are good at what they do, and I would love to know the marketing reason for putting this out on yesterday at the time they did.
I'd love to know the purpose of putting it out at all, because again, it's May of 2018.
Yeah. We haven't seen a still or anything of Black Panther yet. We've barely seen anything of Thor. We haven't got a trailer for that yet.
We've gotten the trailer for Spider-Man.
We've only got one. We've got three trailers for Guardians in some form or fashion. But they just go ahead and drop this. Here. Now go nuts. And the internet was ablaze.
And they added the time stone to the graphic there.
See, I watched it twice, but I wanted to go and watch it on the computer so I could stop and count. I figured they did, but I knew they weren't going to show and give any kind of other details about it. What color is it?
Green.
Okay. Wait, I thought that was the...
That's the Eye of Agnito.
Oh, yeah, never mind. That is that, yeah.
So...
Oh, I thought they put the blue one in there. Yeah.
Blue is Tesseract.
Uh-huh.
Res the Ether.
Uh-huh.
The Power Stone is purple. The Time Stone is green.
The Mind Stone is yellow.
It's yellow.
So, I guess orange? Probably the last one. And I don't remember what that one is.
No, remember you also have...
Oh, okay. So, yeah, there's two. I guess he needs to figure that out. But we'll get there when we get there.
Which is May of 2018.
This is so unfair. It's just rude. It's rude to do this to me.
I mean, and just to think that it's confirmed they're all going to be there. Except there's one person who has not yet been confirmed for Guardians of the Galaxy, or for Avengers Infinity War Part 1, or Avengers 3. And that's Pepper Potts. I did not see a trading card of Pepper Potts on their little board there that they were sticking pins in.
Guess who makes a Pepper Potts trading card?
I did not see her name in the script that was being flipped through. I did not see.
We've got 62 people. Do we really need Pepper Potts?
We need Pepper Potts. She is vital to Tony Stark's story.
She's going to take 5 minutes away from Spider-Man. That, do I want 5 minutes less of Spider-Man than Pepper Potts?
We need 5 minutes less of Spider-Man to finally have Tony Stark and Pepper Potts reunite and come together as her, with her as rescue.
I want you to say that again.
We should take time away from Tom Holland's Spider-Man. Less Tom Holland screen time, more Pepper Potts.
So you want to take 5 minutes from the guy that was in Civil War for all of about 20 minutes, that everybody loved and everybody wants to see a movie of. You want to take 5 minutes from that guy out of this ensemble of 60-some-odd people, and you want to put 5 minutes of Pepper Potts, who most people forgot even exist, in this movie.
To be fair, she hasn't been seen since the Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
But she got cured of her extremis. And she dumped Tony after the events of Age of Ultron because he, you know, continued to make homicidal robots.
We're going to make a hashtag for Brian about this obsession with Pepper Potts. Because clearly it's not healthy, and it doesn't need to continue.
Pepper Potts needs to be in Infinity War Part 1 or Part 2. She needs to be the reason that Tony...
Look, I can see her being in Part 2 just so we can wrap everything up at the end. I'm good with that. Part 1...
is Thanos' story.
Yeah. Thanos ain't got nothing to do with Pepper Potts. Doesn't care. Thanos has people's heads to rip off and arms to break. That's what I'm here for.
And, you know, necklaces to destroy.
Yeah. No, he's not going to destroy. He's just going to straight up steal it.
What else did we learn from the Avengers video?
Really not, there's not much there, except the Thanos thing, but we found that out before the video.
I would say the one thing we did learn that was really interesting was the suits of armor. Tony's back to making suits of armor, and it goes more to the point of Tony's point about, you know, seeing a suit of armor around the world, which is what he says in old Age of Ultron, and is kind of his thought process and motivation for creating Ultron in the first place.
That was something I was not expecting.
Now he's here, you can tell him he's a loser to his face.
Hey, you're a loser.
And we have been greeted by losers on our Movies on the Brain podcast.
Oh, sorry.
It is okay.
No, you're fine. You're so fine. You'll just be on... on the internet.
Ah.
I'm calling you a loser on the internet. Ha.
Ha.
It's immortalized.
Michael, you missed it. Not only did I walk around for four. here it comes. This is the greatest story ever.
Yes.
I don't know if that was sarcastic.
Yes, suit of armor all around the world, which is what he references in Infinity War and Age of Ultron. So.
I was walking around with my corset upside down.
I didn't think we were going to get that again, but. That was a surprise.
More detail.
Yeah, they look different and bigger, but.
But again, not something that is going to stop Thanos.
No. He's going to tear through those things.
Well, that's another thing that we really need is we need establishing shots, whether it's in Thor, Ragnarok, or somewhere else. We need establishing shots of Thanos in comparison to Thor, in comparison to Hulk, in comparison to an Iron Man suit, to help give you the perspective of it.
Yeah, I would imagine that he's smaller than the Hulk, but bigger than everybody else.
Well, you know, when we got the information that a big part of Guardians 2 is going to be the story of Gamora and Nebula, and it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to tell that story without Thanos, according to what Agun said. They're going to not even do flashback. They're just going to use dialogue to kind of cover it.
You can do that through dialogue. I think that's not a big issue. And it makes sense, you know, for
the natural progression of where Guardians 2 should go.
Yeah. I'm good with that.
Especially considering Nebula got shortchanged.
Yeah.
Another thing that we had learned, though, on the set visit was, or from the Super Bowl ad, was now we know why Gamora is running away from the Milano and the Milano is shooting at her in those trailers, because now we know that at some point Nebula gets the controls of the Milano.
That's right, yeah. And we found out that, you know, the team basically splits up through the movie.
Until they have to come together to defeat Ego, the living planet's purpleness, with his Fu Manchu-ness.
They won't fight Ego, I don't think. I hope not.
They will fight Ego. They will be on... They're on Ego. They're inside Ego. That's where Rocket and Groot are in that first trailer when they're discussing the bomb.
They can't blow up Ego. Ego has to be eaten by Galactus at the end of the second Avengers.
Hey, Fox and Simon Kinberg still talking about a Fantastic Four 2.
I'm not going to curse Simon Kinberg out now. I refuse to do it. But my disdain for anything non-Star Wars related to Simon Kinberg...
I still say that once everything is over and they see the box office numbers from Spider-Man Homecoming, they're going to change their tone. I mean, they already had to make the character swap, right? They had to give Deadpool a character in order to get Ego. So...
I think a deal between them is further along than people realize. I don't think we'll ever hear about it for a while. But I do think that... Marvel has something Fox wants, which is licensing rights for X-Men.
Yeah. I don't think they want to give away the X-Men. I think Marvel wants Fantastic Four back, and for no other reason than villains.
Yeah.
Galactus and Doom, particularly.
Yeah, I think the way the universe is structured so far, they don't even need the X-Men. I think they're giving up on that, and they're completely content with Fox doing whatever. But they want Fantastic Four, and Fox wants merchandising rights for the X-Men. So give them, 90% of the rights. You keep 10, or whatever kind of deal you work. And then get Fantastic Four back early.
Yeah. All right. So that will conclude our first ever live edition of the Movies on the Brain podcast, interruptions and craziness and all.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, this was fun. So for Chad Metz, I am Brian Wood. If you want to follow me on Twitter and keep up with this podcast, I am on Twitter @BCWTigerFan.
And @TheMetzTheory.
Thank you very much, and have a pleasant evening.